and I'm going to talk about iOS 7, because most people, unless you have the new iPhone 4S, you're not going to have the fingerprint option to identify the phone and verify your identity. You're not going to have the new camera. But the software changes in iOS 7 are pretty significant. So let's first talk about features. I'll give you an example. For example, they have something new called the Control Center. And the Control Center basically allows you to get to things like turning Wi-Fi on and off, turning Bluetooth on and off, more quickly than having to go bury down into the settings, general, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one. And you can get to that by doing a three-finger flick up. And that gets you into your Control Center. That's one new feature. You can now choose to have apps update automatically you want to. And I think that's an important one to mention. Now, the good news about that is you don't have to go in and update your apps anymore. The caveat to that is there are times when apps will update and they are no longer as accessible as they once were, and unless you have the app backed up, you can't go back. But for those of us like myself who tend to live a little on the edge, I love having them update automatically.
I could not activate it until I realized that you had to put your finger on the status bar first. Yeah. Then once you touch that, then it's easy to do the flip.
But
thank
you. Touch the status and then do a three-finger flick up.
Then do a three-finger flick up, yeah.
Right. Because otherwise a three-finger flick up
is just a scroll,
The thing I don't like about the new system from a security point of view is if you have an access code, the old, you could punch in your code and it wouldn't repeat the numbers, whereas with the new system, it will repeat the numbers unless you need parse it.
One way people have gotten around that is to enable handwriting and use handwriting to put the numbers in, and that way they're not voiced. Handwriting is a feature that you can use to input text in a text edit field. I don't think too many people do that, but it does work. It's an option that you can enable on your rotor so that you just turn to it and enable handwriting. And you can flick up and down once it's enabled. So there are three modes that it uses: capital letters, small letters, and numbers. And depending what setting is on is the way you draw it. The handiest thing about handwriting in my mind is from the home screen, if you enable handwriting, you can draw a D. And it will give you a list of all your apps that start with D, no matter what page they are on your phone. They can be in folders, they can be on screen 6, they can be anywhere on your phone. And you get a list of all the apps that start with D, so Downcast and whatever. And from that list, you do a two-finger flick down, and it runs you through the list of all your apps. If you do a two-finger flick left, it erases the D and then gives you a list of all the apps that start with nothing. So it's all the apps on your phone. So that's a way you can get a whole list of just everything in your phone in alphabetical order.
Without double tap on the selection to
activate it.
So we'll open that app.
Yeah. This is David. I've played around with it a bit. My sense is it's a really neat gimmick, but most things that it does I can do faster. I mean, first off, just finding it on the rotor sometimes is a little difficult. If your folders are set up reasonably decently, if you've got stuff scattered over 10 pages, that's different. But I find I can find things more quickly. If you're in iTube or you're in Pandora or something and you want to search for the name of some foreign-born musician who you know you can't dictate it right, and if you happen to be a bad touch typer like I am, I find it's faster for that, for typing in a name that you know the dictator never worked on. So it's an interesting feature, and it's the technology of it is pretty amazing, but my own sense was that I'm not going to use it very much.
The compass in the iPhone with the new iOS also serves as an accessible carpenter's level. It'll tell you how many degrees off plumb it is.
iTunes Radio?
Yes.
Yeah, good stuff. If you go into the music app now, and if anybody's kind of familiar with how Alexa Pandora Radio works, how you could pick an artist or a genre, it'll actually play stuff out of the iTunes store. Yeah. For instance, you could go into iTunes Radio and it'll have a bunch of preset radio stations or anything. Particular genre of mine. What's nice is that you can actually pick an artist or a song and you can say, play more like this, and it'll come up with all sorts of different selection is based on popularity from the iTunes Music Store. And of course, there's a link to buy the song if you want to do that too. It could be free or it could be not so free. The not so free one is if you pay for iTunes Match, like I think it's $25 a year now. The only difference really, as far as I can tell, is that one has ads and one does not have ads.
Would you say, Frank, it's better in some ways than Pandora?
I think it's a lot easier to use.
It also, I think, has a wider selection. One of the things about Pandora is you get a lot of repeats.
I think you do.
I haven't used iTunes enough to know. People have been saying maybe they got fewer repeats, but that may just be initial observation.
I think it's extremely similar to Pandora, but it is really easy to use and it's kind of fun.
The dictation is now, you don't have to find the dictate key anymore. So instead, when you hear it's editing, you can just do the two-finger double tap that you would normally use for turning on and turning off music.
You said, I want to repeat it again, so you said there's something that's a little bit easier about dictating now, where you don't have to do one of the processes. Does this apply to emailing and texting, which was when I almost always used my dictate quite
yes.
a bit?
Yes, it applies to anywhere where you have an edit field, say it's editing. Then instead of finding the dictate button, you can just double tap with two fingers and it dings and you can dictate and then to end it, you do the double tap with two fingers.
The search is no longer on the home screen, but they've changed the app switcher, and I think it makes it easier. Once you go into the app switcher, you can close your apps by doing a three-finger flip up, and it's much more definitive in that it says, you know, that it's closed.
What they've now done is you can put more apps in a folder now. The bad news is you can't put as many folders or apps on a page. They've decreased that. But now I have a couple of categories that have 20 plus apps in them. So that's great that you can now do that. The other thing about I want to talk about a little bit with folders, the good news is you can do that and you can have almost unlimited, I think it's like 99 or something, apps in a folder. The thing about moving apps into folders is it's become much more sensitive. So you have to really play with how to do that in a way that will get it into the folder you want. It used to be that when you hovered over a folder, it'll say inside productivity folder, for example, you could just lift your finger and it would go in pretty quickly. Now I find, at least I did on my iPhone 4S, that you had to hold it down until you heard a little clink and then you could lift it and it would go in.
I've also found that often I have to triple click home to turn speech off and then back on to kind of reset things because the screen seems to get screwed up every so often. For example, some of the flicking up commands that are supposed to close things, they won't work.
Yeah. I would like to talk a little bit about Siri. I'm not using it myself very often, but I know people who use it a lot because they find the gestures hard, and it can do a lot more than it used to do. So I just want to give a few examples. You could already insert notes, so you did, note, blah, blah, blah. Note, shopping list, butter, sugar, and that's it. Okay, now you can find these notes. So you can find note, shopping list, and it displays it and reads it to you. And then you can say add batteries or something like that. I think it's much friendlier in that it doesn't always echo what you said anymore. It seems like it answers you and not just, okay.
Some people like that and some people don't, though.
That's right.
Some people like to have it echo what you said because then you'll know whether it understood what you said. A lot of times it doesn't.
Yeah. It's more interactive in the way that it dings when it asks you to answer. You don't have to press the button anymore, so not always.
I'm new to Siri. I don't know if this is a new feature, but you can tell it change pronunciation for contacts. But if you have my last name and my dad's last name obviously are the same, so I have to change it in both contacts. Mm. But it's there.
Wow.
How do you change it?
You say change pronunciation and it comes up with a dialogue. It asks you for the first name, gives you three options on how to pronounce it. You tap that and then if I say change pronunciation for Antonio Guimarães and it comes back and it says, how do you want to pronounce Antonio? And it says Antonio and gives you three different ways to say that. And there's a button for saying it and a button for selecting it. And then it comes back and it says, how do you want to pronounce Guimarães? And it says Guimarães or Guimaris or Guimarães. You tap that. Next time you dial that person or say that name, it'll pronounce it correctly, and hopefully it does it for both female and male voices. I don't know for sure. I'm new to Siri. I don't know if this is a new feature, but you can tell it change pronunciation for contacts. But if you have a, you know, my last name and my dad's last name obviously are the same, so I have to change it in both contacts. Mm. But it's there.
Wow.
How do you change it?
You say change pronunciation, and it comes up with a dialogue. It asks you for the first name, gives you three options on how to pronounce it. And you tap that, and then it
so give
says
a,
it.
You mean like
give more
like a Spanish pronunciation?
Okay.
Or you put in your own.
Yeah, let him.
Yeah.
Let
so
him,
if,
let him
if I say change pronunciation for Antonio Guimarães, and it comes back and it says, how do you want to pronounce Antonio? And it says Antonio, and you know, it gives you three different ways to say that. And there's a button for saying it and a button for selecting it. And then it comes back and it says, how do you want to pronounce Guimarães? And it says Guimarães or Guimaris or Guimarães. You tap that. Next time you dial that person or say that name, it'll pronounce it correctly. And hopefully it does it for both female and male voices. I don't know for sure.
There's a delete thing that I discovered yesterday. It used to be when you deleted phone numbers, you had to double tap them. You had to use two fingers, even with touch typing. Now, if you hit the delete key, you don't have to hold down your numbers. It just deletes them.
The delete key now functions the same way as the other keys do on your, the other letters and so forth do on your iPhone, as they have in touch typing.
There's now FaceTime audio to where you don't see the other person, but you have a very good quality sound.
In iOS 6, it was just very, in email, it was very easy to delete a message. You just flick and it says delete, you tap and it goes away. Now you actually can do two or three flicks, you've got a few options, but on mine anyway, there's this thing called archive.
Yeah.
And it does go away. Where is archive? What is it? If it's a delete and it goes away forever, fine. It's a strange way to
is
have
this a
word.
Gmail account thing?
You can
change
yeah.
Gmail, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
You can change
that's
that.
A Gmail.
You can change that.
It is, and you can do it. So, like, you go into setting, you find your mail account, you find specifically Gmail, and once you're into the Gmail settings, it will give you the option of delete or archive. And you choose the one you want, you double tap on it, make sure it's selected, and then just back out of settings all the way to the beginning of settings.
But delete means it goes away forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trash
yeah.
Trash
yeah.
Folder.
Yes,
right.
That's
but
right.
But archive, what is archive? Does anybody know?
Archive means it's
yeah.
saved on the server.
And trash actually stays around for 3 months. Yeah.
You can activate and deactivate Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, things like that,
yeah.
just by doing a voice command. Instead of having to even go to the control center.
Yep.
Siri,
turn voiceover
off too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Another Siri feature is that you can specify that it search Wikipedia, Google, or Bing for your search. And the Spotlight search on your phone is available from
yeah.
the home screen. Just touch anywhere in the middle and do a three-finger flick down, and you'll be able to search your phone for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And another Siri feature is there's a guy now, too. You can have a guy or
you can have male or female voice.
Another camera feature
yeah.
is that with VoiceOver on, if you are using the camera, and again, this may be a little bit more gimmick than useful, but it might be a little bit useful depending on who's using it. The camera will tell you if there is a face in your picture,
mm-hmm.
and it will tell you where the face is. It'll tell you whether it's a big face or small face. But then when you go into other pictures, it'll tell you how many faces are in them, whether they're well lit, whether it's blurry, that kind of thing. So for pictures you've already taken, you get a little bit more information. You also get the date and time when you took the picture, which is really awesome.
But pictures also, it takes, I don't know if somebody knows a little bit better than this, and it takes several pictures and it chooses the one it thinks.
That's only
best.
In the new hardware. That's
okay.
not
okay.
on. That's not a software feature. That's within the new hardware. If you sounds, you can do a lot more with sounds now than you used to be able to. So, for example, you can disable the clicks and the different sounds. So, say if you're using a Braille display and you don't want to hear all that stuff, you can disable VoiceOver. You can disable the sounds, or you can disable both. That's a difference. Another, what they call feature, is what's called containers. Those are different areas on the screen. And as you go, as you move around the screen with your finger from one container to another, you'll hear bloop, bloop, bloop. I couldn't figure out what that was for the longest time. And you know, for 2 hours I was trying to figure out what in God's name this was. I called Apple Accessibility. They didn't know, but that's what it is that it means you're moving from container to container, meaning one part of the screen to the other, your status part of the screen, the middle of the screen where you have your active app, or the message over the bottom of the screen.
There's also the VoiceOver cursor you can make bold for the low vision crowd. It's in the VoiceOver settings, and instead of being a thin little black line, it becomes a really thick black line. I think they call it large cursor.
When you're deleting messages in email, if you have closed your messages but you know that you want to delete them, if you go through your messages one at a time, it used to be that if you flick to delete, you would hear double tap to delete. Now, if you flick down, you hear more. If you flick down again, you'll get either trash or archive, depending on how you're set up. But if you flick up, you'll only have your one choice, trash or archive. That's a nice feature. It means you double tap it, but you know it's automatically going into trash. You don't have to second guess. It says double tap to delete. You don't have to think, where is it really going to go, just in case you want to find it.
Bugs. Let's start with the low vision piece, because I know that's pretty significant.
The screen looks just awful. Fortunately, for me, I only use it to kind of locate things, and I don't read the keys on the keyboard, but I used to be able to see them, where they were, where things were. Now it's much more difficult. But I would warn somebody who uses low vision for their as their main way of using the iPhone to not go to iOS 7. To me, low vision is really secondary, but I'm disappointed. And one thing one can make better a little bit is turn on bold, which means you have to reboot the iPhone, but that's a minor thing. And then you can also increase contrast a little bit, but all that doesn't really help a whole lot. It's so much worse than, I mean, than the OC.
And even for sighted, fully sighted people, but the icons and stuff are much more difficult to read, I'm hearing.
Yeah, my wife, she was complaining about it, and then she did three things. She did the two things that Maria just mentioned, and she said she also changed the wallpaper. She thought that helped some.
I changed it to a very dark, kind of a black background.
I think a lot of us have that same background. One of the options is a very simple black. I think it's got some dots on it. It's a dark gray, and things stand out a little better.
It does help.
For the sighted public, what was Apple going for?
Well, you know what's interesting, David?
I know they were going for cool, but
no.
I mean,
a couple of my friends said it looks much more like an Android phone now. A couple of my sighted friends told me, they said, you know what? It looks like an Android.
There was a backlash against things trying to look on the phone like something in real life, like an address book actually looking like an address book.
Mm-hmm.
And so they made things a lot more graphic, a lot more stylized. My personal disgruntlement about it is that they took away the outlines of buttons and they made the keyboard more transparent, which makes it very challenging to see where one key is and the next one key ends and the next key begins. Or instead of a button, you'll have a word or an icon, and the icons will be things like blue on white or yellow on white or red on white, depending on what application that you're in. And I think that's incredibly challenging for people with low vision. I would also warn people with low vision, depending on your specific situation. When I first downloaded the operating system, I made myself motion sick for about 2 hours. I didn't even notice the changes in the motion, but because of how I was using it, and it could have to do with the fact that I have vision only in one eye and I was holding it, so I don't know what it was, but there is an option under accessibility for reducing motion, and I would recommend that for anybody. One final thing I will say that is a little bit better is that their enlarged fonts, or their larger text, is a little bit more broadly available, and there are now a lot of third-party applications that support what they call dynamic fonts. So if you adjust the size of the text, you can adjust it either in the accessibility settings, or it also appears just under general large text, same setting. You can adjust the font size, and any application that supports that dynamically adjusting text will now have slightly larger text. So that is a little bit of an improvement over over previous operating systems.
I really would encourage those of you with low vision to write to accessibility
yes.
at apple.com
yes.
because they receive a lot of bug reports, and they certainly have. I've submitted some, and they've told me that they've gotten them. But I think people with low vision, my experience with, there's a lot of underreporting of those kinds of things. So
and probably also under testing, because mm-hmm. I assume it was very much tested for voiceover, but not at all.
Please write to accessibility@apple.com and be as specific as you can. Don't say the low vision stuff sucks. It doesn't work well. You know, I've gotten the best response when I say, if I am in this app or I'm doing X, this is what's changed and this is how it impacts me.
When you're in messages and you're flicking from very top left, you'll see a contact button, no longer the phone number. Mm-hmm. If you pass that one slot and you start going back, it doesn't go back to that same button. It starts going through your messages. So you have to go back to the top by touching it.
There are times when if you go to send somebody a contact card, it will act as if it's sending it, but it hasn't sent it, and it just goes nowhere. We actually ended up resetting the phone by holding down the power button and the home button for about 30 seconds, which is what Apple told us to do. Then you wait a minute, then you turn on your phone. And we had to do it two or three times before it completely righted itself.
And it's come back a couple times, so it's something not quite right.
Well, when you go to write a message, it used to be that it was pretty predictable where your, for lack of a better term, where your cursor was, you know,
yeah.
where you were starting from,
yeah.
ending at, whatever. Now, well, you can be, you touch the screen, you can be jumped into the middle of your message,
yep.
top of your message, end of your message, and you don't necessarily know.
Yep.
So one thing I found it really important to do once I want to go type is to make sure that I'm at that lower part of the keyboard so I don't inadvertently change where I am in the message. So,
before you lift your finger up?
Before I lift my finger
yeah,
up,
I
yep.
I had that problem many times and had ended up just getting so frustrated, I'd delete the draft and start over.
Yeah, me too. That's
yeah.
well, that's what caused me to have to start being very, very, very deliberate and careful, which is not my usual style.
I find what I rely heavily on is I tap and listen to the message to want to make sure that it's correct before I send it. It no longer repeats the whole paragraph to me, the whole message. It'll only repeat part of it. That's really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You have to actually go back to the beginning of the message and do the whole thing to and
well,
then the message,
yeah.
and then it actually will read the whole message.
So I do mine in paragraphs and short sentences for that reason. Is if I have to delete the second word in the line, and it's maybe an 8 to 12 word line, I don't want to delete the whole thing, so I make it short. And then I leave a space in between so that I have some vision, I can watch the cursor so that it won't keep on going past my message, my mistake rather, continue.
Yeah.
So if you're saying I had a message with three different paragraphs and the first two are correct, I wanted to go just to touch the third paragraph,
mm-hmm.
I have to go all the way back to the beginning of the message?
To get it to read all of it?
That seems to be the way that it will read it correctly. Which isn't good, but that's the only way I
know. The touch screen in general is much more sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you need to be aware that if you're somebody, for example, I have a friend who has a lot of arthritis and has trouble with hand dexterity. And I said, don't upgrade. Because for somebody like that, it's much more difficult for her to totally coordinate her hand so that she doesn't inadvertently do something she wasn't planning on with this new system. Because it is quite a bit more sensitive. I have not had the difficulty that I know some others have with it, but I have a fairly light touch. But it is much more sensitive. Some people have had success by turning that reduced motion option on that was discussed earlier in relation to low vision. But some people have also found that that doesn't help and that that slows their phone down.
The thing that bothers me the most is, and I have a 4S,
mm-hmm.
is that the phone seems to have significantly slowed down. Just getting into apps, sometimes it takes quite a while to get into them.
When you say quite a while, David, how long do you mean? Because I've seen that reported on the list, but I don't get a sense of how long.
Well, it's very downcast, for example.
Yeah.
You know, I never remembered in the past that it took much time to get in there. A double tap on it, maybe 4 or 5 seconds. Maybe sometimes I even have to get out and go back.
Really? Okay. Now that's interesting because I didn't have that on my 4S.
I haven't had that on my 5S.
No, it's specifically with the 4S people are reporting it.
6, with whatever my previous practice was, iOS 6
works
significantly
better.
Faster than whatever it is. My practice hasn't changed. It is slower with the 4S. It just strikes me.
Do you guys notice performance improvements when you clear out your, when you quit your apps?
Yes. Significantly.
The general recommendation is that it shouldn't impact your performance.
I know that's what they say. On my 4S, it definitely makes a difference, particularly when you're doing things that are power intensive. I really do find that it makes a difference.
I only do this once a month or so on my 5. So
You know, when you're in the middle of some, you know, some audio thing like a podcast or music or whatever, you know, with you used to be, or I could do just, you know, a light two-finger double tap, if that's what it is, and it would stop the audio, and it doesn't do that anymore.
It will
stop the voiceover if the voiceover is blabbing, but it's like, say you have a podcast going, no, it will not stop the audio, it will not stop.
Really?
It is inconsistent, is what it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't.
Mine never does.
Yeah,
really?
Well, again, mine is consistently, it has never been able to do it with the new operating system.
Because the one touch with two fingers will anyway stop voiceover and start it.
No, it stops voiceover, no problem there. But I mean
stopping audio.
It's a different gesture.
The two finger, just one touch, that should only stop the voiceover, right? And then the other one, the two finger double tap, that should stop the music.
Right.
And
it does.
Right.
Mm. And answering the phone too. Does that
phone works fine, but just you know, audio, music, stuff like that.
You should try the dictation trick and see if that works because it's the same gesture.
Yeah.
Other bugs.
You know what I found when you call through Siri, it brings up your phone, but only with an end button and some other field. And if you want to get the keypad, I'd have to go home and tap the phone app and open it, and then tap the keypad, open that.
I've seen that too.
I have a question. If anyone has a problem with the favorites in the phone app, it used to be that when you put the favorites in, you'd have the favorite from Amy's Mobile and Amy's Home, but now it's just Amy. And when you double tap on Amy, you're not really sure what you're going to get. In some cases, it's the mobile number, sometimes it's the home number. So I'm not sure there's just
I saw that on Jeanette's phone yesterday, and on my phone when I had it, it was fine. Did anybody else, do you know what John's talking about?
Well, mine got all screwed up, and I think I'm going to have to re-enter all my favorites, you know,
because
the number of my favorites to start over.
There's two options. There'll be, you know, Amy, and there'll be Amy More Information.
Right.
If you hit the More Information, you'll get Amy's contact.
Right.
Is that actual contact. But if you hit Amy, it just dials, and it's sometimes it's, you know,
it decides what number it's going to select.
Yeah.
You have no control over it.
It's
really bizarre.
Well, actually, one thing that I found that works in the phone that didn't work before was in the contacts list. In theory, you were supposed to be able to, you know, do a one finger flick down to go heading by heading. You know, each letter is a heading: A, B, C.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
never worked before. It would skip all over the place. And now that works correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, if you've got 80 or 100.
You're talking about the table index.
Yeah.
See, and I never had trouble before. That's funny.
You were supposed to be able to just, like, do one finger flick down to go heading by
mm-hmm.
heading, A, B, C, D, and so on.
Oh, but
and
I always thought that was with the table index on the right-hand side.
No, I'm not talking about that.
No.
Heading by heading, A, B, C, D.
See, I never knew you were supposed to be able to do that.
Yeah, you can do that in the table index. Then it
yeah, the table
well,
index,
true.
But I never knew you could flick down. I always thought if you flicked one, my experience was, if you flicked one finger down, it just went down person by person.
He's right, it's working now. It used to work for me one out of every 10 or 15 times.
Yeah.
It would
skip between letters.
Okay.
I just noticed it's working.
Yeah. Interesting.
I have a question about features. You used not to be able to, and I figured out there's an app for that, to be able to email a group from, still can't do it.
I don't know.
You can't create a group in the contacts on your iPhone.
I think there's another mail app that
you have to use.
Yeah, I use an external app for this, but you can't, you know, email
a group of 15
right.
people.
If you have a Mac and you create groups on the contacts on your Mac, then those groups will appear on your phone or your iPad, but there's no way to create groups on the iPhone or iPad without using a third party app.
I played a little bit with some of the other English voices, and they've broken it again. If you want, for example, a lot of people like the Australian voice. It's terrible now. It chops off the ends of words if you go pretty fast. I mean, the nice thing is you can now have some of the English voices while maintaining the way things are spoken in English. But the bad news is that some of the voices are terrible, and people in the UK are up in arms because the British English voice in particular is awful now, much worse. The other disappointment is that although they've changed the Siri voices, those voices are not available in VoiceOver, which is an unfortunate thing because they're much better. I think
now if there are people who would say, oh, this, I want to hang it up and go back to 6.
Operating system, you cannot go back.
Is there a jailbreak for iOS 7 yet?
I believe so, but I don't know how well it works. But and there's another thing I should also mention, that Apple will download iOS 7. It won't install it. It does not install it without your permission, but it does download it. And what happens is it takes up 3 gigabytes of space. So if you have a 16 gigabyte iPhone and that 3G gets used up by that download that you never install parked on your system, then you lose 3G of space.
What do you mean download and then not install? Why
well, because it'll say, you know, a new version is available, and, you know, sometimes people will download that thinking they're going to install it. Like, several people downloaded it but did not install it because they wanted to see what it was like first, have other people have experience, but they wanted to have it ready in case they wanted to install it, and now they're stuck with something that's on their system that they can't get off, and there's no fix for that, so don't do it.
After you install it, a lot of that space gets freed up.
Yeah, once you install it, you're fine, but if you decide not to install it, you're still stuck with it.
Well, has anybody had problems with Siri trying to do voice calling, like to call a number?
Yes.
I've been trying to call, you know, say dial 617, blah, 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 and it just cuts off too quickly, and I might have to try 6 times before I will do that.
I've generally found Siri's performance to be less accurate and less stable, and that probably has to do with the fact that a lot more people are using Siri and trying it out.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens after a while when the novelty wears off to see if it gets any better. I rarely use Siri, and I'm finding I was using it less and less on the 2 days I had it.
So is it true that dictate and Siri are really two totally separate
yes.
things? Because I find when I'm dictating a text message sometimes, even though I don't think the message is beyond 140 characters or whatever you're permitted, it's still, if I make too long of a message, it just doesn't do anything.
I find dictate to generally be more reliable, but, you know, that varies too.
The other thing about dictate is because it has to connect to the internet to process what you say, it's often better to dictate things in spurts, so like say 2 or 3 sentences
right.
and then wait for that to come through and then add another couple sentences. Mm-hmm. Its performance is going to depend on your internet connection as well.
And how do you add what you dictate?
If you do not go back and move your cursor at all, it will just add to the end of your message.
Right.
If you go to your email and start playing around with it, or your message, then you need to make sure that you are at the end of it in order to continue dictating.
If you never touch it, it will append.
You just do the 2-finger double tap again to start dictating?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.